justify my will in holy service, to never bow, even if it means the furnace, to pledge my every breath, 'cause you deserve it. God, give us courage. God, give us courage.
It's upset. All right, why don't we get started so we can get through? We're not exactly anxious to get through, but what a wonderful time of the year it is for us to spend time with each other. And of course, any evening service or service together with the Word and with the Spirit, with brothers and sisters, is always a valuable experience. So what I'd like for us to do is to stand and just pray in a general setting for those who are having very difficult times, way beyond our local church is a world. And so let's just talk to the Lord and the angels of God to persevere with our passion for what God really wants to do. He said, I came not to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. I came to set the captive free. I came to bring healing and to bring vision. So right now, let's pray according to those truths of God. Father, for the sick, for the hurting, for the things that are happening in our world, that are ravening wolves, you called it, spirits that are trying to degenerate what's happening in our world. I pray today for healings. I pray for miracles. I pray for signs and wonders. I pray that the Spirit of the resurrection would flow through our community, our homes, our nation, that the wind of the Spirit and the glory of God would literally become the focus of our conversations as we deal with people hurting and sick and afflicted. So we pray healing, we pray miracles, we pray signs and wonders, we pray that the authority of the angels carrying your name will produce high-level victory across our city, our county, and our nation. In Jesus' name, could we just praise Him with our heart and hands? God bless you as you're seated. We want your your evening to be blessed in every way possible. And there's nothing greater than gathering together, having great moments and sharing heartbeats and time with one another. And particularly when we put ourselves in a situation where we congregate, and the scripture, I use it real regularly because in the name of Jesus, there's power. But he said, where two or three are gathered together, that power will be there. Because in the name of Jesus is all power in heaven and in earth. And that's why we use the name very carefully, wonderfully. So tonight, as we share heartbeats about Thanksgiving, and we began to enter into a lot of eating meetings, if you haven't already started, some have, and it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'll be asking some of you to help me through this lesson tonight, so be sort of girding up the loins of your mind, according to the Bible saying. But now, the Bible said, is the acceptable time. So the world celebrates this special time. And one of the acceptable times is giving thanks unto God and forget not all of his benefits. So thanks for giving is where I want us to go tonight. We use the term thanksgiving, but as I was preparing for the last several days this evening and thinking about what would help us the most, and so then I got to thinking, you know, that thanks for giving is one of the greatest attributes you could tie to thanksgiving. And I would like for us to start by telling him, thanks for giving us yourself. And so why don't we just praise him right now and give him thanks for giving us a choice. Father, we feel that we have made good choices in following you. We followed the world for a long time and have been tempted to follow the world more. But thanks is in our heart. As we come to moments like this and just open our mind and our spirit. And so we thank you for giving. And then we thank you for the privilege of our giving. And so we quote the scripture tonight, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, as the old boy said to me one time, said, receiving's plenty good for me, preacher. It is true that we all need each other. We need information. We need moments of reprieve. We need a lot of things. And so we, being needy people, we look for restoration. We look for divine authority. We look for peaceful times. We look for those things. And when they don't happen on our schedule, we tend to get a little nervous about it. So the scripture again, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so what we do at that time, we aim our giving to a place where we know that we will bless somebody else. It's impossible to bless somebody else and you not be blessed. It's just the way it works. And that's why it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Because you will never give somebody a blessing that in your setting, the Lord of hosts will give you special blessing. So others have given to us through the year. Time, they've given to us. Helps, they've given to us. Kindness, they've given to us. Is anybody here that's never had this past 365 days? Nobody has ever given you any kind of help or kindness or generosity or thought patterns of wisdom. Is there anybody here that could claim that you have not received any of those things? Because I'm beneficiary of multiples of these things. And so it's easy to thank people for giving. Well, knowing that, we harness the energy of God and we practice that. For instance, let's say some of you on the far side tonight, would you just smile at this little couple over here and see what they do? Well, y'all got to look at them to see. You see how many smiles are going back and forth? And it's just a contagious thing. Now, if there were 300 or 400 people watching that, they would be going, did you see that? It's awesome. And so what happens is, how many times have you had the benefit of somebody giving you something and you just simply quickly said, thank you? It's just a natural thing for godly or kind-hearted people to just want to say thank you. And when you praise God, He is the same. When you look up and you begin to praise Him and say thank you, I can promise you He's not going to turn His head and say, I don't want to hear it. He's looking for that because He wants to show Himself a responsible entity. And this thanksgiving, we thank Him for giving, but we want Him to be thankful that He did that. And so as we go through these next few hours and days and family and friends and festivity, and we just want to, every now and then, you know, just thank you, God, for my kids. Thank you for my mother. Thank you for the food. Thank you for my car. You know, you don't have to say it out like that, but I'm just thinking that thanksgiving, a time or a thanks for giving. So as I was putting this together a few days ago and trying to prepare my heart for this evening, and there's a place for opportunities, job opportunities, a place to give kindness and friendship, a place of financial help. I was stopped at a stop sign recently, and there was a gentleman there that was trying to get some money, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, my family and and my brothers and sisters are really up against it, and we're just having a really tough time. And I said, what church are you affiliated with? And he said, we live in Oklahoma, and it's about 200 miles from here. I said, and have you talked to your church family about this? I mean, this is a long way away. And I said, have you prayed that God would give them that they could help your sisters and your family during this stressful time? And he said, I'll do that. And I was so thrilled just to be able to spend a little time with him as the weather, wind and all, and he had this big sign, and there's just nothing like thankfulness. And you could tell that just the time spent with him in caring about what was going on with his family and what his relationship with the church family was. You could tell it pretty quick. Well, I don't feel like I missed any time. I felt good about the situation, even though I couldn't buy them out. I just felt like that the moment of kindness and the gentility of the Spirit, just a wonderful thing. So, have you ever just been a tough shape and just a glass of water? And as I began to think about that, the scripture come, you can't give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord and not be blessed. And so just some of the simple things that God honors in thanksgiving and through patterns of life that are choreographed and memories and filled with friendship. So thanksgiving and thanks forgiving. Giving a place to work, giving a place to live, giving a place to do and to go and have a good time. You know, I can even enjoy going to McDonald's sometimes. And matter of fact, I have been there more times probably than you would even expect. But it's just nice. And they send you out there nowadays, you know, would you go in the spot too and we'll bring you your hamburger. And I always try to have a little fun with them, and they get out there. And I said to the one today, I said, ma'am, you know, it was so nice of you to walk all the way out here and give me food today. You could tell that wasn't a normal thing with her. She just looked in this big, big, huge smile. And she said, oh, thank you. And so it is that I just want us to think about as we go through this Thanksgiving season, and I am convinced that God began to tell me about all this stuff because he watches for people that are thankful enough to create an oasis for others to have the same experience, thanksgiving. So studying the end times and the rapture can cause a lot of questions and apprehension and fear. So why do we need to study prophecy? Well, it's complicated. I don't understand what it means and et cetera. So help us to begin developing an understanding and an appreciation for this is a challenging topic. So I have compiled a few things, biblical answers to four of the most frequently asked questions about the rapture. And the rapture, we need to talk about that to people. Just stirring up the beauty of what is going on in the heavens and in the body of Christ. And this genuine, literal thankfulness that says, my goodness, I have been given an oasis, a wealth of wonderful feelings and thoughts and spirits that add virtue to my life and add strength to the weak days in my life. And so I guess as I began to write it, and I felt like God was just pouring a picture of things and thinkings and thoughts into my mind that as we realize thanksgiving and then move it to the next level, thanks for giving me a job. Thanks for giving me a house. Thanks for giving me a wife. That thanks for the two daughters that we have. And now, how many kids do we have in our repertoire? My goodness, Dad used to say, I have 6 kids, and I don't know how many they're going to produce. He was just always thinking like that, and he helped to coin thinking like that in my mind, in my heart. And then, of course, following the Lord, and I don't even claim to be an astute student of God. I just know that I have followed him long enough to know he's really real. He really means what he says. He can always give what he says he'll give, and he never gets out of a line. He's always forgiving, merciful, kind, gentle, meek. He's just a real God. He said he would be. And so it's a genuine thankfulness in my heart tonight as I share this few moments with us. Thanks for giving. Thank you for giving us the wonderful moments, the wonderful thoughts, the wonderful relationships, the angels of God, the Word of God. Thanks for giving. And we're not going to forget it. We're going to turn around and we're going to give. We're going to give this world the hope. We're going to give our world a joy. We're going to give our world the river of life that came to us. We're not just going to hide this under a bushel. We're going to talk about it. If they're free to talk about their hate, if they're free to talk about their lies, if they're free to talk about their harlotry, if they're free to talk about all that other, what should the church that's free from laws of sin and death be doing on every street and every opportunity? Thanksgiving is a time when we decisively make our genuine joy out of we're going to give. Thanks for giving us, and we are going to give them something to be thankful for. Man, you won't believe this guy. He don't even know me. And he came up and started talking to me about life being great and life being better and life having more superlatives and life having more joy and life having more of a future. And it don't really take a whole lot to stir up people's thought patterns. All you have to do nowadays is you know, just sit at a red light 3 or 4 seconds before you just sit there for a minute and they'll honk their horn. They're responsive people. And so guess what? Some people give all kind of sign language, but we've got some okay sign language. Thumbs up. We're with you, Bubba. Let's go. A smile does a wonderful trip at a red light. A smile does a wonderful trip at McDonald's, and you go through the window, and you know they've been working and slaving away, and you sit in the line for 4 or 5 minutes before you even got to the window. And now, if we're not careful in our generation, there's not a thankfulness that she's still at the window. There's not a thankfulness that somebody's back there in the back that's probably just on minimum wage and probably not really have all the stuff going that many people go that are just coming by the window. And I've seen a lot of stuff in this Thanksgiving. I want the family of God of all people to honor that thankfulness that he gave, and now we give, and we don't just absorb it. We don't just say, well, I hope we have a big crowd, and I hope the chicken or the turkey don't fly away. I mean, burn up. Either could happen. And any time, failure could happen. But our thankfulness is so contagious because it comes from a source of the King living in our life with authority and power. And so we're going to give like he gave to us. I didn't deserve it. I'll just tell you like it is. I did not deserve a great wife that has given me great kids. I didn't deserve to be the pastor of one of the greatest churches in Texas, America. It's been an honor beyond words to care, to study, to minister. The best I could get myself to do is what Grandpa Hush used to take. He said, Bob, I just get myself to do the best I can get myself to do. And I'm honored tonight to be on my way to the holy city. I'm thankful this Thanksgiving that this past year, with all the incidentals and with all the things going on around us, I'm on schedule with the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive and remain. Those are not just sensational words for Sunday night. They are integral words to anchor us to our God. They are anchor points to the hope that we live in. And so this Thanksgiving season, something has really just, I don't know, the winds of the Spirit have really gotten a hold of me. And all of a sudden, God, these things, thankful for every little thing you've done. We want to give, and we want to avoid seeking a date and time for the rapture. Just be ready. We don't know the day nor the hour. I will never forget 77 when they told us that was it. It's over. Some of you would remember that. I will never forget in the late 60s in the war that they told us when they cut that barbed wire fence, the rapture's going to take place. We were in youth camps at that time. We were, it was just a lot of things going on overseas where the prophetic statements were being heralded, and then it didn't happen. And then a friend of mine preached here for us years ago, and when the year 2000 came, many of you heard people say at the turn of 2000, the rapture's going to take place. And one of the preachers that we had preach for us here was a phenomenal speaker. And he just wrote it out and put it on the internet. You can just call me a liar if God don't come in 2000. Well, you know what he was doing. He was trying to hurry up people, rush them people, hurry up and get them to talk in tongues, and hurry up and to do this, and hurry up and to do that. That's not what this is about. This is about studying the Lord. It's about looking and seeing if there's anybody that has not given in to the world, and they just continue to follow Jesus. It's my heartbeat as this Thanksgiving season rolls around that we turn it to this area. Thanks for giving us. So we understand that if you give yourself to us, we're going to give ourselves to you, and we're going to give to ourselves the purpose that you gave to us. You came while I was a horrible sinner. You came when I was far away from your idealisms. You came, and I want to be that kind of person in this Thanksgiving season. I want those people at McDonald's and Brahms, and I all those places that are getting me fat again. I want to give them something more than they're giving me. I enjoy that peanut cluster fudge ice cream. Don't go buy me a bunch. But it's a wonderful feeling when that tongue of mine and that ice cream come together. And then I look at those people through that window, and I always try to do something to get them to smile. I've decided I'm not just going to be a getter. I'm going to give somebody something worth remembering. And so I try to tell them, even though I know that they haven't smiled yet, say, buddy, let me tell you something. That smile on your face is worth more than you know. And I have yet to see them frown at me. I have enjoyed giving them the moment of being able to smile in spite of they've been working for minimum wage and not really having a whole lot of things in all of the settings. But I'm not trying to brag on your past, because I lack a lot. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm looking to imitate him. And that's what the book says, be ye imitators of the Christ. Give them, even though they don't deserve it. That's what he did for me. And this Thanksgiving season, I would like for us to get the vision and make a distinctive, definitive nature of ourselves. I am going to give this world what Jesus Christ gave me, a hope, a chance, a wisdom, a knowledge that is far more than just going to a building and trying to sign up for a rapture that may or may not come if I don't follow him. He went through the grave. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That physical body, the book says he was tempted in all points, such as we. That means that he felt everything you've ever felt about the demise or the limitations of this old body. And so he crucified his flesh. And he said, that's the only way I can get you guys to really where you want to be. And that is give yourself to my cause. Give yourself to my word. Give yourself to my spirit. And so as we move hurriedly through the rest of this, the signs that the rapture and the end times are near. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The sign of deception is all around. Many people will claim to be the Messiah and claim to have all the answers for a troubled world. And Jesus responds, says, take heed. Keep your eyes open. Don't be fooled. In the end times, people will be crying desperately for leaders to deliver them. And they will seek mystics and religious leaders who claim to have deeper knowledge. That's why we got to study to show ourselves approved. The sign of disputes among nations. The sign of devastation. As you read this, millions of the people in our world are going hungry. And God has blessed us. I don't want to take the blessing of America and just waste it on Robert Meyer and the United Pentecostal Church. I want us to be in the streets. I want us to take our thankfulness, that beaming light of glory, take it to Walmart. Take it to the station where the little girls and the little guys are working for minimum wage. They don't have a whole lot. I want the divorcees. I want the people that are going through all kind of hell. I want them to see a smiling face coming from Calvary and the power of the resurrection and coming and not with a, oh my God, I tell you, if I had time, I'd tell you all my troubles trying to fit in with the world. That's not where I'm living, and I don't intend for us to live there. We live in the true riches, the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of the Lord. The wonder of knowing if I live, I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the covenant with the King. And if I die, it's better than that. I won't ever have to face another demon. I will die in the faith. I will die in the glory of hallelujah. I'm about to have a Holy Ghost runaway here tonight. There's something happening in the air. There's this thankfulness that's happening this year that says, just more than just be ye thankful, like the book says. It is look around and see the poverty of spiritual negativism, the spiritual poverty of child-parent relationships. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's any time that we need to be up and about the Master's business, it's time for us, hallelujah, in these thankful moments to give. Not just get. And you're welcome to look at any of this. I just, as God and I had just a wonderful time coming together, I'm just here tonight. Heart burns. I ask myself, will I truly be a part of the rapture? If my body's cremated, the scripture says that the dead in Christ will rise. It is speaking of the bodily resurrection of the believers. The spirit of believers will be united with their perfect and complete resurrection body. You may die in a car accident on flames and all of that and burn up. That part is not a big problem, because in the spirit world, you have a body that's physically able to move around. But the truth is, if Christ be in you, there is something way beyond just living to eat another apple, or just living to eat another steak, or just living to go on another vacation. We enjoy that, and you should be able to enjoy that. But the real thankfulness is, I've got a home in glory. I've got a whole new body already planned for my future. God has redeemed me, and I have a whole new system waiting for me. And Jesus had one. For this cause came I into the world. And he said, you can crucify this body and you can dig a grave and put it in there, but the real me is coming out. It's a whole lot bigger than just talking in tongues and going to a Pentecostal church. It is becoming Christ, Christ in you, the ability to give a world love, hope, joy, peace, righteousness, godliness, holiness. Oh, friend, let me tell you, this Thanksgiving season has been one of the most rich Thanksgiving seasons for Pastor. And I'm here to help every one of us, hopefully, as we rise day to day beyond our Thanksgiving as a setting. But we take the moment and we initiate the idea that I am going to thankfully have something to give to my neighbor, to my friends in the city, to my friends and to my children and to my family beyond anywhere. And my prayer is going to be with a lot
of God. I can't give them what you can give them, but I can get your attention to send angels to go where I cannot reach. The angels of the Lord inhabit your territory. And they wait on signals from prayer warriors and people of faith and confidence. I know in whom I have believed. You want to play a song or just come lead us in just a chorus? I'm going to stop. If you want the rest of these notes, I just enjoyed putting them together. I don't know, it was just like wonderful to think that we would come together tonight and on this Thanksgiving season go beyond receiving, but in this Thanksgiving season determine I'm going to be thankful that I can give. Not just thanks for what I have already received, but thanks that the river, the well, there's more for my neighbor, for people on the job, people that are hurting. So a place to give kindness, a place to give financial help, a place to just give a cup of cold water. Could we stand just as she sings? And why don't you talk to the Lord just out of your heart? You don't even have to say it out loud. You don't even have to say anything, for as that goes. I just encourage you to let's communicate with Jesus in this Thanksgiving season. Thank you, God, that we have some stuff to give. It's not just receiving. I know. We're going to shout and dance plenty. But part of it's going to be new people. People we travailed for, people we wouldn't give up on. Oh, if you know it, sing it with her. And some of you may want to feel to come down to the front. That's fine. Wherever, we're just touching the hem of his garment. We want all the virtue. Give you praise. We want to give you honor. Oh, sing it. That's beautiful. If you're where you can, why don't you give your neighbor a prayer? Find somebody just to pray a special prayer for them. And let them pray for you. We are going to go through this Thanksgiving season with some of the greatest strength that we've ever manifested. Because to give is what his method is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks for the realization of how to conquer kings, kingdoms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For our mayor, for our landowners, for all the businesses. We want to fill their places with thankfulness. God, help us in our patience.
to not overlook the real thankfulness of thanksgiving. You to pray a prayer over us.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for this church family that have welcomed me in. I have got so much to be thankful for. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids, my grandkids, everything that you've done, God, throughout my life. All your blessings, God. I ask you, thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Sister Meyer that have been so wonderful. God, we ask you to be with each and every family of this church during this holiday season. Keep them safe. Help them to have great family time together. God, and bring us back together to church to worship you and lift you up. Most of all, we want to give you thanks during this time, knowing what you did for us, that you gave yourself for us, Lord Jesus. God, and if we couldn't have any of this if it wasn't for you, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Jesus' wonderful name. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Why don't we give God one of the biggest, loudest hand claps that we've given him before? Wonderful, wonderful people, those of you that are here and those that could not be here.